Larry Menti Show. A look back at the week and a look ahead at what is to come. For our city, for our nation, for you. Exclusively on 77 WABC. This is the Larry Menti Show.
Just a horrible day today. I hope you're having at least a good Saturday night, trying to cope with what went on throughout the day in Charlottesville, Virginia. Welcome to the Larry Menti Show. Thanks so much for being here. The number to call in, as always, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. And we begin with the ugly explosion of racial hatred that exploded to the forefront of our collective consciousness.
Breaking news out of Charlottesville, Virginia, where clashes have erupted between white supremacists and protesters over the proposed removal of a Confederate statue. We've seen several people injured. We must warn you, the outbursts have been violent as well as vulgar. Charlottesville police have declared a local emergency.
That was earlier today. Violent clashes between a white nationalist group of protesters, an alt-right group, and another group who gathered to oppose them. Let me start off by saying, where were the police? I know all night people have been praising the police, saying that the police did a great job. No, they didn't. They did a great job way too late. I kept seeing video of the violence between the white supremacists who were dressed in helmets and carrying weapons, mostly big sticks, and the large group opposing them who appeared to be mostly University of Virginia students, also armed with big sticks. What I didn't see was any cops. I know they moved in with riot gear and broke up the protests, finally. But I keep hearing, time and time again on the news, because they were getting a lot of former NYPD people on, that would never happen in New York. The NYPD would never have allowed those two groups to meet. So tonight, let me set the table with this first. I would love to hear from both past and present police officers about what they saw today. Not just NYPD, anybody in the area. Because I saw a police force that seemed outmatched, unprepared, and they came in with force much too late. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. And if they did their job today, we wouldn't be talking about this tonight. And then, of course, as you know, after the white nationalists are dispersed, some jackass came back with a car and rammed the crowd and used it to kill.
We've spoken to several witnesses who tell us that they were having their counter protesters were marching. They met right near this location here. They had a moment where they celebrated. And the next thing they knew, when they looked up, a car, a silver or gray two-door car, came barreling down the hill and started hitting people. People have described it to us. They were literally plowing through people, people flying up around them. Many people telling us they had to jump out of the way. When we actually got down here on the scene, we're walking through what was left of that crowd. You could see people laid out on the street, paramedics working on them, people wrapping up their legs.
One killed by James Alex Fields Jr. That's the driver. He's been identified tonight. James Alex Fields Jr. One killed, 19 injured with that driver. Now, here's something fascinating about the story. They talked to this guy's mom in Ohio, and his mom said, yes, he went to the alt-right rally. So it sounds like he went there as a white nationalist. But what's fascinating about the story, now, he has been charged under the suspicion of second-degree murder. They've identified his car, they identified him, all that kind of stuff. But a tech reporter for The Hill, Taylor Lorenz, reported that police believe the suspect did not intentionally mow down protesters out of malice intent. Lorenz reports that authorities believe that the suspect acted out of fear as protesters swarmed his vehicle. Some were allegedly acting violently. And this is what he tweeted out. This is Taylor Lorenz from The Hill. Anyway, several police officers at the station that I spoke with think the guy running down wasn't malicious. They said the driver was just scared. Fields is being held on suspicion of second-degree murder, malicious wounding, and failure to stop in an accident that resulted in death. Pretty fascinating. I didn't hear that tonight from anybody else. As a matter of fact, CNN and most kept reporting tonight that it seemed like he did this maliciously. State of emergency has been declared in Charlottesville. I was really worried about tonight. Because normally when these things happen, the nighttime is the worst. There's normally another group that forms to respond to what happened during the day. And many times, the secondary protest can be worse. I shouldn't even call it a protest. Riots can break out. But they have a curfew in place, which doesn't always work, but it seemed to work this time. The National Guard has moved in. That does normally work. And right now in Charlottesville, so far, so good. And now to the political part of this. Donald Trump came out and made what I thought, and I saw it, I heard it live, a strong statement against hate.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides. It's been going on for a long time in our country. Not Donald Trump, not Barack Obama. This has been going on for a long, long time.
Now, that's what he got in trouble over. Because when he said many sides, people were all over him saying, wait a second, there's only one side today. And I think when he said the many sides, that's why he went to Barack Obama, and that's why he talked about himself, that it's been going on for a long time. He talked about many sides, not just for today, but the many sides over the last few decades. And there have been many sides over the last few decades. If you take it in that context, and he just didn't phrase it well, he was correct. Here's what I hate so much about the division in our country right now. And I'm not talking about the racial division, although that's what was at play today. That's not the biggest division in this country right now. And I'm not just saying this, this has been studied. The biggest division in our country right now, and the most passionate division in our country, is political. And that's why there was this immediate knee-jerk reaction to criticize Donald Trump. People jumped on that moment. Instead of coming together as a nation to condemn hatred, which Donald Trump absolutely did, to try to mend our racial divide, opponents of Donald Trump saw this as an opportunity. They denounced Donald Trump for not speaking strongly enough against white supremacists. Now, I'm going to play the entire statement a little bit later. So you tell me if he didn't respond strongly enough against hatred. And they denounced him for saying that there's hatred on all sides, which is true. First, there is hatred on all sides. Absolutely. And all sides are not denounced enough. Second, his statement was strong against hatred and the people who displayed it. Not just today, but over the last couple of years. And he made that clear. And third, today is not the day for this kind of political fight. There is nothing Donald Trump could have said that Democratic operatives on TV like Van Jones would have accepted. Nothing. They see this as an opportunity to stir up emotion and score political points, and shame on them. Can we just mourn the moment? This was a scar. This is a scar in America on what we've devolved into, on something that has been percolating under the surface that we've ignored for too long, and today it rose up. We should have seen it with Dylann Roof. We thought he was just a lone nut. No. We saw he has numbers today. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Back with your phone call right after this.
Now how I wish I had someone to talk to. I'm in an awful way.
Welcome back. We're talking about the horror that was Charlottesville, Virginia today. I'm sure you've heard that State Trooper copter went down as well outside of Charlottesville. It was being used by the Charlottesville police to try to deal with the situation there, and two brave men died as the chopper collapsed. We'll talk about them a little bit later in the show as well, but I wanted to acknowledge that. Apparently, the governor came out tonight and said that there was a total of three dead. Now, that's a total for the day. I think, and he said that before the chopper went down. I don't know if you're going to include that in the total, but of the people that were killed in the altercations today, there were three, and there are many more wounded. And some are in critical condition, especially after the car plowed into a number of the people there. So that may rise, hopefully not, but that may rise. There were 19 injured when that happened. But all this is going on, and there is this deeper story to be told about racism in America and why these neo-Nazi, it was a neo-Nazi faction, these alt-right people, white supremacists, they're not all the same, came together. And they came together because they were going to take down the statue of Robert E. Lee in Charlottesville. But why they felt emboldened, that's a conversation to have, a good conversation to have, an important conversation to have. But the entire conversation tonight is not about what's important. The entire conversation tonight is that Donald Trump wasn't strong enough. Many people thought he was strong today, had a good speech today. And I think people that heard the speech before they heard the media talk about it thought, oh, that was good. That was great. And then the media started coming in and saying, you have to do this. He had to say this. He had to mention white supremacy. He had to denounce white supremacy. He can't get away with just denouncing hatred. He has to denounce the alt-right movement. He has to denounce white supremacy. And it was constant, over and over and over again tonight, on all these different channels, especially by Democratic operatives. And by the end of it, everybody thought, well, I guess he should have. Republicans tonight are coming out and saying, oh, he should have done that. Marco Rubio, John Cain, Orrin Hatch, Chuck Grassley, all of them coming out and saying, well, he really should have said white supremacy. Marco Rubio said it tonight because they're being bullied and they're giving in. Now, look, tomorrow he may. He may come out and say that. And Senator Ted Cruz tonight suggested that the Justice Department launch an investigation into what happened in Charlottesville. That's a great idea. Donald Trump may very well come out and say that tomorrow. But tonight, he has become the story. Because that's what's important. You have to understand why. You have to think to yourself, why aren't we just mourning the people that were killed? Why aren't we talking about racism? Because Donald Trump always has to be the story. Because anything bad that happens, you have to tie Donald Trump to it because there is a large faction in this country, I'm not sure enough, but a large faction in this country that wants Donald Trump removed from office. And that's what this is all about. And that's why I believe it's shameful. We should just talk about the moment for now. Can we leave Donald Trump? Can we leave politics out of it for just a little bit? But no. No, no, no. Any opportunity to make Donald Trump look bad, the media, the Democrats, the left, and all, they're all wrapped up in the same deplorable bundle, are going to go after him. And again, a little bit later, I'm going to play the entire speech by him. The whole 3 minutes and 25 seconds of him talking about this today. So you can decide for yourself if it was that awful. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Andy from Staten Island, you're on 77 WABC. Hey, Andy.
Larry Menti Show. I wish we could talk about Glenn Campbell passing or Nicole Militakis handing the Red Bull to de Blasio, but this is such a big story, and the story has been to me all week, Trump. Like, he came out with the North Korea press conference or two the other day. He sounded very presidential, and you got to give him credit. He does comment right away. A lot of, like, Obama and the older presidents would wait. He's out there when something happens, and he's riding the line. He's commenting as the president, not as Donald Trump, the citizen.
No, I get that. No, it's, everything he says is going to be as the president now, of course. But tonight, I thought when I heard the statement, I thought it was a strong statement. I thought some of it was measured because he didn't want to exacerbate things. He didn't want to make things worse.
Exactly.
But it was still strong. It was still a strong statement against hatred. He talked about people loving one another. He talked about people respecting one another. It was a strong, strong statement. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. And right. Yet, and this was just tonight. Remember, that he can still comment tomorrow. But, he's being...
This was pretty shocking.
It was. But he is being attacked by all sides by the way. Mercilessly tonight.
They will not let it go. We've seen this. They're just not letting it go. But I think he's going to be around for a second term if he keeps up the way he's going and he sounds the way he sounds.
Well, we'll see. I mean, Andy, thanks for the phone call. We'll see what happens in the midterms, because that's going to give some indication of how the country truly feels about him, because you can't tell. I feel so... Look, I love the media. I've been a part of the media all my life. I've been a reporter all my life. I've been an anchor all my life. And I am so upset with what's happened to the media. And it's more upsetting the fact that they've lost all trust. So you can't go by the media anymore. It used to be you could really get a sense of how people are feeling by watching the media. Now you can't. Now you just really have to wait for Election Day to find out what's really going on. Louis from Sayreville, you're on 77 WABC.
Hello, Larry, my friend. Good to hear from you again this weekend.
Good to hear from you, Louis.
Larry, it is just sickening the way this media is going on and on. I mean, I don't watch CNN or MSNBC anymore. I just watch Fox a little bit. And, you know, they had this girl, her name was Banderas. And she had like a 2 or 3 hours she was on there for specials. And, Larry, you know, there was a key phrase that you missed with Donald Trump. He says, we're going to study this. Now, that's 10 times better than what Barack Obama used to say. Oh, well, the policemen acted stupidly. Now, come on, people out there. We got our man in there, you Trump likers. You know, I'm not talking about you Trump haters. We got our man in there. We got our deplorable in there. This guy's doing the right thing. You know, people got to wake up, open their eyes. And again, once again, our beautiful police station got the stand down notice over there in Virginia to not do anything. And I was watching online. They had an embedded reporter on there. I watched it for 3 hours. She was going through the chaos in there. The police would not let the people escape when they were getting put upon by the protesters. Nobody talks about the other side, the protesters. Yeah, what those people did, the KKK, and ran that guy over, it's still to be out. Nobody has any evidence yet. He could have panicked and left. But one reason he could have panicked and left is because the police people would not let the people escape. They had barriers. They made them walk through the protesters and get beat up. Nobody's talking about the other side. I can't believe this. Like you said, the media is so corrupt. You know, Larry, I wake up happy every day. I got my man in the office. He's doing everything 360 with Barack Obama, and I'm happy, Larry. It's good talk fodder for talk radio. I understand that.
This is more important than that. This isn't just fodder for talk radio. I have to disagree with you on that. This is really important. Not only the media perspective on what's going on, but what happened today in Charlottesville is inexcusable. I'm not excusing that. We can't have that conversation because the media wants to just focus on Donald Trump and the way he reacted to it. There's a much more important conversation to have.
I agree with you 100%, Larry. And all I got to end with is, as a country, we must come together. I mean, after 9/11, people wouldn't honk their horns for 2 weeks. Now, we have it in us. We just have to get it out of us. There's somebody nefarious trying to split us apart. I don't know who it is. I don't know what conspiracy theory it is. But we can't let them split us American people apart. And with that, again, Mr. Menti, I love you. I'll always hear you on the weekends, and God bless you.
All right, thanks a lot, Louie. And with that, we got to take a break. We'll get to more of your phone calls when we come right back.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides. It's been going on for a long time in our country. Not Donald Trump, not Barack Obama. This has been going on for a long, long time.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms hatred and bigotry. And the only mistake he made, according to the media, is he said all sides. Because they wanted to just condemn white supremacists. They just wanted to condemn one side today. And I understand that. I get it. I understand it. You want to be more enlightened. You want to be the worst thing anybody can be called is a racist. So you want to be more enlightened and you want to make certain that you're on the right side of this, which wouldn't be the right. And so that's what happened. And Republican after Republican senator tonight is following line with that. Now, look, I have every expectation that tomorrow Donald Trump will come out and condemn specifically white supremacists. And Ted Cruz has called for an investigation. I think that's a good idea, too. Did he have to say that today? No, I don't think so. The statement he made today was fine. It was fine. I thought it was strong. I thought it was appropriate. He talked about love, respect. As was pointed out by Louie a moment ago, he talked about studying the situation. All appropriate. But there is a huge faction in this country that wants Donald Trump gone. And it's not just Democrats. It's just political insiders, people that do not want the status quo disrupted. So the story, it's important every time something goes wrong to make the story Donald Trump. It happens time and time again. And they try things. Sometimes they don't work. They'll try things. They'll try to attack him on everything. Everything he says, everything he does. Sometimes they stick. Sometimes they don't. And I'll be the first to say that some of them are appropriate. He's not a perfect man. He's not a perfect president. He's never been a politician in the past. But tonight, I just hate that it was done today. I detest that. Just let this one go. Just come together. Instead of adding to the divide, it's so ironic. You can't, for one moment, after we saw the hatred that emanated from this divide, that you couldn't for one moment come together with the president, come together with everybody, and denounce what happened today. Instead of doing that, you had to find something. to add to the divide. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Gino, you're on 77 WABC.
What's up? Listen, investigating.
Gino, you got a bad line. That never happens with Gino. Greg from Dumont, you're on 77 WABC.
Come on, Larry. I look forward to your show because you're better than a lot of these reporters. Don't talk about Trump. Come on. They're all doing it right now. Trump will do better with this tomorrow. Let's talk about these maniacs.
Wait a second, Greg. Hold on for one second. You don't think that it's important, considering the fact that I can turn on any station right now and he and Donald Trump is being slammed for this? If I just do a Google search and put in Charlottesville, it's all about Donald Trump. You don't think that's a story?
The story is, who are these maniacs that were there in support of General Lee's statue? Where all these groups come from? The National Alliance, the New Klan. Who are these people?
I agree that's what should be talked about. I agree with that.
Tomorrow, Trump will definitely speak better tomorrow.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But this, to me, is the entire reason for the divide in our country. This, to me, that they will take what the president didn't say, or that they didn't like that he wasn't stronger in his comment, becomes the pervasive story. That to me is shocking.
What's shocking to me is that in northwestern New Jersey, we still have a group called the National Alliance that puts hateful things at the bus stops about black people being inferior and Jews being, you know, banker criminals and all that type of stuff. We see this more often than not, and people turn their eye to it because they kind of believe that in some parts of our country, all right? Another thing, I'm a little more personal with this, and I traveled all around the South. There were great people in the South. But one of the most egregious things I'm aware of against minorities, if you will, took place in 1921. Upstate New York, Watertown, New York. They burned a cross in front of somebody's house who was a farmer. A Roman Catholic Polish guy from Eastern Europe. That was my great-grandfather, baby. He had fought in the Tsar's army. He fought in the American army. And he and his cousins, they found those redneck scum that did that, and they taught them a lesson.
Greg, are you really shocked that there's racist and anti-Semites and sexists everywhere? You're not shocked by that, really?
But if in Germany, there's no statues to Van Meintuffel and von Rundstedt and all those guys, and Kleist, the great German generals. If we had succeeded, slavery would have gone down to Mexico and also Central America and Cuba. That was their grand design, if you will. It was evil, man. I mean, and this is what these clowns are now saying. Oh, it's our heritage. No, America's heritage is Grant and Sherman putting those idiots down and beating them for a better world. This is insane what's happening.
Yeah, it was insane. Today was insane. Hey, Greg, thanks a lot for the phone call. As always, I appreciate it. Pat from Manhattan, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Larry. None of these Republicans on these panels point out the hypocrisy of the Democrats. It's so simple to do. When when one of his constituents shot that Steve Scalise, the Republican, in June at the baseball game, we Republicans didn't blame all the Democrats. But when it happens to a the other way, the Democrats always, right away, blame all the entire Republican Party for being racist and all this stuff. See, we are such the Republicans are such cowards. It's so simple to point this out and fight back. Just say, you know, the shooter of for Bernie Sanders back in June that shot Republican Steve Scalise, congressman, the baseball game, we didn't blame the entire Democrat Party. Just say that.
You know what's interesting, Pat? I can't remember Bernie Sanders coming out and denouncing
Right, and it's so simple to do, but these wimps, these cowards, they get bullied, they get embarrassed, they get intimidated, and they start agreeing with the Democrats on the panel. They should have just said that. We don't blame, I wish we would, it blame all the entire Democrat Party, use their own playbook against them. It's just so simple to do, and they are all cowards, these guys that are on these panels.
Yeah, Pat, I just wish we didn't talk about that tonight. I just wish we leave a day when something like this happens. Don't be political at all. Just say it's horrible what happened. We all unify to say this was horrible what happened today. Shouldn't have happened. And that's why I appreciated Donald Trump's comments. He came out against hate, all hate. He didn't have to say white supremacist. Everybody knows what he was talking about. Everybody knew what he was talking about. I knew what he was talking about when I heard him say it the first time. And then he went on to... It was perfect. I thought it was perfect. But then, little by little, you know that it was pushed by the Democratic Party. You know that it was. That they said, hey, guess what? He didn't say white supremacist. Everybody get it out there. Get it out there quick. Let's get it on CNN. Let's get it on MSNBC. Quick. Tweet it. Get it out. Call the New York Times. Call the Washington Post. He admitted saying white supremacist. He must agree with them. I'm sure he'll say it tomorrow. I'm sure he will. He didn't have to say it today. And it gets me angry. It gets me angry that we devolve into this political divide every single time. And it's dangerous. As Pat pointed out, it's dangerous because there's people out there that are affected by this. And they take action based on this. And it's hateful. So you attack a president who talked about love and who talked about respect with political hatred? Why? What are you hoping to do? Just win some more seats in the House? Is that what it's about? All about? Is that we can't have any conversations because they're all about the midterm elections? It is so dangerous. It's amazing what we've devolved into. We've devolved into what happened in Charlottesville, but we've also devolved into this political divide that we can't dig our way out of. And you watched it in action in tonight on the cable news stations. We're coming back with more of your phone calls when the Larry Menti Show, Larry Menti Show returns on 77 WABC. We will get to North Korea in a little bit, but the topic of the day is Charlottesville. I'm just encouraged that nothing happened there tonight. I thought after today, with three dead, dozens injured, there would be something tonight. It's what normally happens, unfortunately. I thought there'd be something tonight, and so far, nothing. So I'm happy to report that Charlottesville seems to have calmed down. However, I don't think... It may not be Charlottesville, it might be somewhere else, but this racial tension is not going to calm down anytime soon. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Tony from Brooklyn, you're on 77 WABC.
Larry, good evening. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I think there's two main things, and I'll try to be as cogent as I can and as quickly as I can, because I know a lot of people want to talk to you. I think you hit it on the head on one of them, and I think the second one you didn't really delve into, just because you chose not to, not because it went over your head or anything like that. The first thing essentially is, basically, they're mad because he basically said the truth, which is there's evil on both sides going on. What he said, his statement was 100% accurate and the right thing to say. What the wrong thing to say was the governor of Virginia, who's a Democrat, when asked, after he vehemently condemned white nationalists and neo-Nazis, which all people of any good faith, as I do, as you do, Larry, we all condemn neo-Nazis and white nationalists.
Right.
When he was asked about Antifa and Resist at All Cost, which are two Soros-funded, very violent left-wing organizations, he walked away from the reporter and then had state troopers push that reporter aside when the reporter tried to follow him. That's the Democratic...
Which cracks me up when that kind of stuff happens, because that is fascism. That's
no question. No question.
Everybody that calls people fascists they don't understand what it is. And then when they try to silence the other side, when they try to use violence, and for instance, when they try to use violence to silence fascism that they claim, they're being fascists.
But Larry, think about this. The governor of Virginia wants to have the moral high ground and say the president wasn't firm enough in his condemnation of white nationalists and neo-Nazis. But yet he walks away from a reporter when he's asked with the question of Antifa and resisted all costs. Two very violent left-wing Soros-funded organizations.
I get it. No, I get it.
You lose your moral credibility when you condemn one and pretend the other doesn't exist. So how dare he wag his finger at the president when he has no moral perpitude? Just by what his actions were today.
Right. The second part of that, and the part that I was talking about, was that the police then made sure that reporter, and I thought we were big on the First Amendment rights on the left, that reporter be silenced and pushed away.
Well, because they didn't
That's
want to
fascist.
Bat heads with the governor.
I get it. I understand the reason, but you're not supposed to do that.
Oh, no, I totally agree. It should have never happened. There was one other small point, and I know you're pressed for time, but clearly, the media is trying to do what they've done for the last year and a half. They're trying to say, and anybody with a brain is not going to fall for it, certainly not the 63 million who voted for the president. They're trying to say that his agenda and all of us that voted for him, that's what we want, what happened today. We want white nationalism, neo-Nazism. It is not white nationalist to want a wall so a half a million people don't keep sneaking in on the southern border. The RAISE Act, which was introduced by Senators Perdue and Cotton, is wonderful. It protects American workers who are losing their jobs to foreign immigrants who are coming in by a million a year. So it is not racist or white nationalist to want to cut immigration levels from a million to half a million over the course of a decade.
Yeah, what Tony, I'm going to let you go, only because I think you're mixing apples and oranges there. I get your point, and what you were saying was correct. I don't want to get into the immigration debate. I just don't want to. I want to stick on Charlottesville. We get enough on our plate right now with that. Joe from Jersey City, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry, I love your show, man.
Thanks, Joe.
Definitely, you speak a lot of good truth, and the whole thing is that I think the real blame has to go with the former president as far as the racism in this country, because he's all about it all. I mean, Barry Sotero, a.k.a. Barack Hussein Obama, brought about division in this country, racial, class warfare, and also anti-police. Everything that you see going on in this country right now is all brought about him. I mean, the whole thing is that you can't blame it on President Trump, because the whole thing is that everything you see going on right now was the underseeding of him basically putting out everything out there and laying it all on the line, saying, you know what, guess what, it's all because of this and that, whatever. And the whole thing is that now, the whole thing is that President Trump now has inherited all this garbage. And the whole thing is that I think it's not fair to blame him for what happened today in Virginia, because the whole thing is that it's been brewing for years in this country. And the whole thing is that I think it's really crazy.
Yeah, Joe, and thanks a lot for the phone call. Donald Trump made a point to say that this didn't just happen under Barack Obama. We've had racism in this country for a long time. Do I think Barack Obama handled it well? No. No. He started out wanting to handle it, wanting to try to bring people together, but then realized that he was more powerful in playing into the divide, and the Democrats have been using that strategy ever since. Gino from the Bronx, you're on 77 WABC.
Notice that again, we have the scum in the media, the biased fake news media, not giving any blame to the Democrat governor of Virginia, the very same Terry McAuliffe who gave 204,000 convicted felons the right to vote in last year's presidential election, and he did it by not legislative fiat, not judicial fiat, by executive fiat. If it wasn't for that, Hillary Clinton would have even lost Virginia, along with Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, and the rest of the country. This is just another way of getting the black vote out. They side with scum in the Black Lives Matter mutants who burned Ferguson, Missouri to the ground, who tried to make a martyr out of that thug, Michael Brown, who the scum in the media also disregarded everything about that guy, including the video from the convenience store that clearly showed him robbing and assaulting the store clerk when he robbed the place. And then, of course, they all went in and all protested, and then they looted those very same businesses that were actually black-owned businesses, and not a peep, not a word came out of the
Democrats. Yeah, Gino, you're making...
Not a word out of the media, and not a word...
Hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second, Gino. Gino, I know you like to... Gino, I'm going to... I know you like to just go on, but hold on 1 second, because I think you made a really important point, and that is not... that Donald Trump is being attacked today just for not using the word white supremacist. But I remember when Barack Obama made his speech during Ferguson, I didn't hear him come out and denounce Black Lives Matter. I didn't hear him come out at that time and blast the people. He asked for peace, but he did not attack them, and he did not say they were wrong, and he did not say they were racist, and the media let him go on that.
Not only that, but we had a local reporter here on the very station that you used to work for, Channel 11. The guy's name is Jay Dow. He had to literally tell his cameraman to turn the camera away and to shut the sound off because they were attacking him. They were attacking the crowd. They were showing things that they didn't want to show because the Black Lives Matter mutants actually recruited Bloods, Crips, and other gangbangers to show up to these protests. They were there today in Virginia, and not a peep out of the word of the scum in the media who are always biased and are going to blame Trump for the Lindbergh kidnapping case. I mean, this is insanity.
Yeah, no, it was bad today.
We can't trust anything that these slimeballs do, and the worst part of it is you got these gutless, spineless, worm Republicans who just fall like a cheap pantsuit because they don't stand up for right, they don't stand up for principles, they just fold. They fold because they're gutless cowards. If at least one of them had the balls to say, investigate Black Lives Matter, see where they're getting their funding from, see how many times they had people that got busted from...
That's it, Gino. I was trying to let you go, but we got to take a break. We'll be right back with your phone call after this. Welcome back. I'm going to still talk about Charlottesville because I think there's so many things that require talking about other than Donald Trump. I want to play the entire statement from Donald Trump because everybody's been playing snippets of it and reacting to snippets of it. And everybody's talking about the one thing that he said when it's been going on for a long time and we have to denounce hatred on all sides. For some reason, because he didn't attack just one side, he was wrong today. And I was just reading an opinion piece on CNN that said it was unpresidential what he said today. You got to listen to your own people, CNN. Even Van Jones said it was presidential. He thought it was, he said it was 84 or 85% very good and very presidential. He just missed saying that one thing, denouncing white supremacy. I believe he did that on purpose. I believe he didn't denounce white supremacy today on purpose and that he's going to tomorrow. I don't think it was a perfect statement. I thought it was presidential. I thought it was very strong. And so before I get to your phone call, I want to play the entire statement. It's only 3 minutes long. And normally I wouldn't play something this long, but it's become such a source of contention tonight and attack that I want you to hear it in its entire context. So this is the entire statement he gave on Charlottesville today.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides. It's been going on for a long time in our country. Not Donald Trump, not Barack Obama. This has been going on for a long, long time. It is no place in America. What is vital now is a swift restoration of law and order and the protection of innocent lives. No citizen should ever fear for their safety and security in our society. And no child should ever be afraid to go outside and play or be with their parents and have a good time. I just got off the phone with the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, and we agreed that the hate and the division must stop right now. We have to come together as Americans with love for our nation and true affection, really, and I say this so strongly, true affection for each other. Our country is doing very well in so many ways. We have absolute record employment. We have unemployment, the lowest it's been in almost 17 years. We have companies pouring into our country, Foxconn and car companies and so many others. They're coming back to our country. We're renegotiating trade deals to make them great for our country and great for the American worker. We have so many incredible things happening in our country. So when I watch Charlottesville, to me, it's very, very sad. I want to salute the great work of the state and local police in Virginia, incredible people, law enforcement, incredible people, and also the National Guard. They've really been working smart and working hard. They've been doing a terrific job. Federal authorities are also providing tremendous support to the governor. He thanked me for that. And we are here to provide whatever other assistance is needed. We are ready, willing, and able. Above all else, we must remember this truth. No matter our color, creed, religion, or political party, we are all Americans first. We love our country. We love our God. We love our flag. We're proud of our country. We're proud of who we are. So we want to get the situation straightened out in Charlottesville, and we want to study it. And we want to see what we're doing wrong as a country where things like this can happen. My administration is restoring the sacred bonds of loyalty between this nation and its citizens. But our citizens must also restore the bonds of trust and loyalty between one another. We must love each other, respect each other, and cherish our history and our future together. So important. We have to respect each other. Ideally, we have to love each other.
We have to respect each other. Ideally, we have to love each other. He talked about studying this, that we have to study what happened in Charlottesville, but it's not all a government problem. It's in each and every individual heart. That alone, that end of that speech was pretty deep. But the entire speech was attacked because of one omission. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. John from Staten Island, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, Larry, that speech does say a lot. You know, he's talking about all of us getting together, but the way the news was reporting it, they show snippets and left and right saying he didn't say what he was supposed to say. I think it was enough that you're saying, listen, both sides, it doesn't even have both sides, there's hatred between everywhere. It's time to stop and get together. That was the message. But that's not what the way media is, just plays a snippet here and there, and they're saying they don't have an answer. And the other thing is, well, I mean, where is let's put it this way. Should we have other presidents all speak up against this? Only was it Donald Trump that started this? Was it Obama? Was it George Bush? Was it Clinton? Where's the other presidents?
You can keep going back. Was it Reagan? Was it Lincoln? Was it, you know, was it Johnson? You know, if you keep going back and back and back and back, but... Barack Obama did put out a statement today, and it wasn't really a statement about Charlottesville. He just tweeted today. He tweeted a Nelson Mandela statement and didn't come out. I think he made the right choice by not commenting. He's got to acknowledge that Donald Trump is president. It's up for Donald Trump to speak and to try to bring together the country. I think he was attempting to bring together the country today. It was the media that didn't allow that to happen. All right, John, thank you so much. We'll come back. We got more phone calls on this, then we're going to move on to North Korea. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you want to comment on Charlottesville, I'm going to stay with it for another 15 minutes or so. We're coming right back.
And I have a message to all the white supremacists and the Nazis who came into Charlottesville today. Our message is plain and simple. Go home. You are not wanted in this great commonwealth. Shame on you. You pretend that you're patriots, but you are anything but a patriot. You want to talk about patriots, talk about Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, who brought our country together.
Well, Thomas Jefferson and George Washington both owned slaves, but so it may not have been the greatest people to bring up. Just in, look, I think they're, Thomas Jefferson's was a great writer. He wrote the script for the revolution, but he didn't live up to the words that he wrote. George Washington at least released his slaves when he went back to Mount Vernon, but Thomas Jefferson never did. So it was just odd that he brought up those two. But however, let me talk about that's Governor Terry McAuliffe from Virginia who made that comment tonight. And I want to make certain that just because I'm talking about Donald Trump tonight doesn't mean that I don't condemn everything the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis and the KKK did today in Charlottesville. It was abhorrent. And they went in there particularly just to cause havoc, just to have that kind of fight. They were ready. They had helmets on. They had bats that they pretended were sticks to hold their placards, and then they used them to attack people. So there's no question that they expected violence, and they wanted violence. They were chanting blood and soil, which is a Nazi phrase. Many wore KKK outfits. And so they went there to try to stir things up. And there's a theory tonight that they did it as a call to arms across the country. So we'll see what happens. So it's abhorrent. And I want to join the rest of the country in condemning what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia. But I can't, because that's not what the country's talking about tonight. Because they want to talk about Donald Trump. No matter what happens, no matter how we should come together to attack one moment, we can't, because the media wants to refocus us on Donald Trump. And I find that abhorrent. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Al from Somerville, New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Larry, you just hit it on the head. I really, really think when Donald Trump said we should study this accidentally, maybe he didn't really mean what I'm about to say. If this were to be studied, just like Germany, and you know the communist manuals, get people to fight out on the streets, the socialist right wing, the socialist left wing, they had to get out on the streets to cause revolution. If this were to be studied, this plays right into the hands of the media, so this could justify the left-wing college kids by saying we're a nation of racism when we're not. We're full of Nazis. If you were to study these people, they're either drug addicted, they're probably, some of them are paid, they're not sure if they're on the left wing, the right wing, and these are purposeful people so the media could brand the true conservatives as all racist. Again, if it goes back in the 60s when I was around, I still have the manuals about getting people to get out on the streets. The more the left speaks of hate, the more you're going to find some wackos. Just like sports teams, people want to go into the stadiums and fight. People will fight and hate no matter what. It has zero to do with this country's politics. You could put the Nazis in a thimble and the Ku Klux Klan. Every FBI agent knows who they are, what they're doing. So I think this is a purposeful plot. I'm not a conspiratorial guy, but I've seen it for 60 years, and this is sort of the purpose of getting the people out on the street and getting us to hate each other more, when in fact it's just, again, a left-wing pushing pushing, and you're going to get some weirdos like this to respond, and they're really joyful that this happened.
Yeah, Al, they might be joyful that it happened, but I don't believe that there was conspiracy on, this was a conspiracy on the left today. I think part of the reaction has been that there's definitely political talking points tonight about Donald Trump, but for what happened in Charlottesville, if anything, the conspiracy was white supremacists from across the country going to Charlottesville. And what you saw was a reaction to that. And they expected that reaction. If you saw, they were all getting out of white vans. And they were being brought in from around the country. They had helmets on. They had thick sticks to hold their protest signs that they used to beat people with. So believe me, I don't think this was set up by the left at all. Look, Charlottesville's a college town. The University of Virginia's there. It's a very liberal town. And that's why they wanted the statue of Robert E. Lee down. Because they're a very liberal town, and they wanted to rename the park, Lee Park, to Emancipation Park. So the people that showed up knew exactly what they were doing. This wasn't set up. This was not set up by the left. I disagree with you 100% on that. Dara from Philadelphia, you're on 77 WABC.
I think what the president said was wrong. It didn't show, like, I was for the president, but every single move he seems to make is just showing that he is a racist.
Dara, what did he say today that proves he's a racist?
He didn't condemn the neo Nazis. The monument is basically praising slavery, 300 years of black people being whipped and killed and raped, and then, you know, having to basically worship and glorify.
Well, the statue is being brought down, but I'm not sure still what Donald Trump, just because he didn't say the words, because he denounced hatred, yeah. He denounced what happened today. He said we all have to love each other. He said we have to study this and react to this. He said we have to show respect to each other. Because he didn't use the word neo-Nazi, or because he didn't say white supremacist, then you think he's a racist.
How come when Barack Obama doesn't use the word Muslim, you know, a lot of people seem to get upset because the other one used the word Muslim. He has no issues using the word Muslim, this and that, but now he has an issue saying the word neo-Nazis are wrong. They came in to basically create chaos.
Well, first of all, thanks for the phone call, Dara. But first of all, Barack Obama, for 8 years of ISIS attacks, both on Americans abroad and in this country, he used the word Muslims. He wouldn't say Muslim terrorist. He wouldn't say extremist Muslim. He wouldn't say Muslim terrorism. He wouldn't say Islamic terrorist. That's what he wouldn't say. That's what he was criticized for. Islamic terrorists is what he was criticized for. Radical Muslims is what he was criticized for, not saying. But that was for 8 years. You're talking about one speech. So I don't think you can compare the two, because we're talking about one speech. And I'm sure he will tomorrow or the next day. It just wasn't the night tonight. Mary from Virginia, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry. Good to talk with you. Listen, I want to let you know that I'm down here, and the statue situation is not a racial issue. There's a whole lot of outspoken black people who don't want those statues taken down. And there's a group of people that are trying to make it a racial issue, and it's not the conservatives or the alt-right.
Well, but the conservatives, I get that. What you're saying is that there's another side that we're not talking about, but the alt-right... And I'm not saying conservatives, but certainly the alt-right and the neo-Nazis are using this as a symbol of something else.
Well, I don't know that the alt-right is the same thing as the neo-Nazis.
No, I that's why I separated the two. I said the alt-right and neo-Nazis and white supremacists are using these statues as a symbol of somebody else. So that does hurt the argument. But I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is you're down in Virginia right now, and from what you see from being in Virginia, this isn't a racial issue. Okay.
There's a group. I think Al is right on the money that there's a group trying to make it a racial issue to cause uproar in this country. Now, and the other thing I want to say is that I don't know if it's Trump's place to condemn white supremacy. Because in this country, you're entitled to your thoughts. You're entitled to your free speech. But what you're not entitled to is the violence. And that is what Trump rightly condemned.
He condemned more than that. Thanks, Mary. He condemned hatred, too. And hatred, but what he was saying was hatred on all sides, and that's what he's being condemned for tonight, and I think wrongfully so. It's being used as a political attack on him, and it's just, it demeans everybody. As Van Jones said, Van Jones wanted to praise his speech. You could tell when I watched him the first time. And he said he almost went there. It was a great speech, except for the fact that he didn't say white supremacist. And then by the time the night came on, everybody was attacking him for that. Russell from White Plains, you're in 77 WABC.
An earlier caller said, who are these people? These people who are there to resist the removal of a monument to an armed traitor who fought to preserve slavery. All those people that were there to resist that removal, they are Trump supporters, okay? And I want to ask you, Larry, do you hate racism? Do you hate racism?
Yes.
I would think you do.
Yeah.
And the people that were fighting those individuals who are resisting removal of a monument, they hate racism. And most of them, they were white. This is not a racial issue. Just like that woman said, the blacks want to keep these monuments because it reminds us of our history. This was a bunch of people who don't have any respect, and they are sitting there going after people with Kevlar vests and sticks, and that is why Trump should have denounce them. But instead he does, oh, they're the same, just like both sides are bad, and he expects us to listen to him talk about respect or history. The only part that Van Jones liked were complete sentences, and those, I guarantee, were written by someone else. Trump speaks in fragments. When he said, oh, we're all about the same and everybody should stop, that's Trump's real thoughts. He's not condemning these KKK. He's sitting there endorsing them. That's the secret
he
message.
Said in the strongest term possible, I denounce hatred. I denounce the hatred that we saw today in Charlottesville. That's what he said. So I look, Russell, I didn't interrupt you in the beginning because I agree with you. I agree with you completely. I denounce what happened in Charlottesville. I denounce the people that showed up to incite violence. And I know that they weren't there just because of the statue. They were there. The statue was an excuse for them to try to rally the troops and to try to rally people to their cause and to cause violence. And I condemn that in the strongest possible terms, just like our president did.
Would you go down there to a rally to oppose that? Would you go to oppose that at a demonstration?
The only reason I wouldn't is because I wouldn't go down to Virginia for any rally. But would I oppose that if it came to my own town? Yes.
So you'd go to a rally if it was in your own hometown. And if people showed up with sticks and guns, because it's a carry state, what would you do? Would you stick around, or would you just go home and let them have a
Russell, I think you're mixing things up. I'm not sure that people are attacking the college students that showed up to protest. That's their right. And I don't think that they showed up there for violence. I just contradicted somebody a short while ago. You seem to think that you need to defend the people that showed up to protest the neo-Nazis. I'm not sure that most people are on your side on this.
Well, Trump seems to say that both sides were guilty. He doesn't distinguish which side is.
I don't think he was talking about today. He went on to say this has been happening for a long time. It's not just Barack Obama.
Right.
It's not just me. I don't think he was talking specifically about today. Hey, Russell, I got to go only because we have a break coming up, but no, I condemn what happened today. He condemned what happened today. The speech today was used for a political purpose. It was used for political purposes. We have to see through this stuff, and we have to condemn that too. We have to condemn the people that are going to take every situation in this country and make it a political strategy. And that's what happened in the media tonight. That's what happened with the Democrats tonight. And that has to be condemned. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Going to talk about North Korea when we come right back. Well, I was going to move on to North Korea, but this just came over. I'm going to check on the authenticity of this because it came over on Twitter, but it's an official statement. It says, tonight, Attorney General Jeff Sessions issued the following statement on the opening of a federal investigation into today's incident in Charlottesville, Virginia. Quote, the violence and deaths in Charlottesville strike at the heart of American law and justice. When such actions arise from racial bigotry and hatred, they betray our core values and cannot be tolerated. I have talked with FBI Director Chris Wray, FBI agents on the scene, and law enforcement officials for the state of Virginia. The FBI has been supporting state and local authorities throughout the day. U.S. Attorney Rick Mountcastle has commenced a federal investigation and will have the full support of the Department of Justice. Justice will prevail. So, the Justice Department announcing a federal investigation into the protests that turned into violence, and it seemed like the people that showed up from all around the country to go to Charlottesville were ready for violence. The Justice Department of the Trump administration has announced a federal investigation into the violence today that was based on racial bigotry. Does that change your opinion about Donald Trump and his reaction? Does that change your opinion at all about what he said today? 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Donald Trump left out the words white supremacists or neo-Nazis or white nationals or whatever term you want to use. He left out those words. But now the Justice Department is going to have a federal investigation. The FBI is going to be involved. The Justice Department is going to be involved. That's pretty good, right? Is the administration doing enough now? I told you, just wait. That was his initial reaction. That was his initial statement. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Stan from Forest Hills, you're on 77 WABC. Hey, Stan.
I thought we were going to talk about North Korea. They told me to hold on that one.
Yeah, I did. I'm the one that told them to hold.
First of all, I heard the speech, and I found it extremely, it was not bad. I mean, he went into all the other things about we should all love each other. We need to stop it. That's nothing new. These incidents, and as tragic as it is, have been going on for a long time. This isn't new. They happen every 4 or 5 years. And I met somebody here in New York who used to be with the Klan, who used to be in the New York area. He's not with it anymore. And he told me the reason they do these things, not as bad, you know, is to raise money for beer party, to raise money. I said, is that all it's about? Money. It's about money. They raise it in different areas. They do this. It was had to do with the statue. They organized it, and this one was organized, of course. And from this, what happened, that's tragic, they'll get money from that, from, you know, all the groups of crazies, the far-right neo-Nazis, the groups, and so forth. So this isn't, it's happened, and Trump did say it's happened many years. It's happened in different administrations over the last 20, 30 years. They're inconsequential. They go back in their cave when they need to go back, and you don't hear from them much, you know that. And then they come out when something has happened, but it's to raise money. And the Southern Christian, I think the Southern Law Service, I think it was, I forgot the guy's name, who watches these groups, say it's about money. And then, of course, hatred, but as long as they got money, they won't, you know, they got money to get up beer parties, they can do this, they can put pictures of Hitler, and so forth. I believe that, and this guy said that's what they do. He's no longer with them, but it's, you know, it's throughout the country. Of course, there's more of them. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's, Stan, I'll tell you what, call back about North Korea, but that's interesting that you say that, because there was a theory today that they did this knowing not only that there was going to be violence and knowing that there was going to be a lot of media attention to this. And they did that purposely. It's interesting that you said to raise money, but it's also to incite more violence across the country. It is to send a message across the country. And in many ways, if you believe that theory, if you believe that conspiracy theory, the protesters and the media played right into their hands because they got a whole lot of attention. They got their message across the country. You and I might find their message abhorrent. You and I might find their message disgusting, but there are people across the country that say, yes, I want to be a part of that. And so you might be able to get racists to come out of the woodwork because of the attention the media gave them today, of the belief that there's that many people on their side, of the belief that for somehow they're being downtrodden by the system, by the media, by the government. And so it is very possible, and it's interesting you said that, Stan, it is very possible that this was only a way, not only a way of fundraising, but of recruiting and of stirring things up even more. And if that really was what today was all about, if that really was what today was all about, they achieved their purpose. And they did so with the help of those college students that took them on and with the help of a willing media that reported everything they did today. Pretty fascinating phone call. You know what? I'm going to take a break early because I want to come back and talk about North Korea, which I promised to do. But again, the breaking news that just came over, and I'm going to double check on this and reaffirm it for you. But Jeff Sessions tonight says there will be a federal investigation into what caused the violence in Charlottesville tonight. Welcome back to the Larry Mantee Show. Still nothing from North Korea tonight. They've been threatening the United States for years, but there were people that were really upset, thinking this was going to lead us to war, especially now that they have nuclear capability. They, of course, made a direct threat that they'll create a ring of fire around the United States territory of Guam. And I know you're concerned. I know a lot of people were concerned about this. I know the media on this story has been, again, completely irresponsible. But let me quell your fears for a second. Nothing is going to happen, at least not now. Certainly not today. Kim Jong-un is crazy. There's no question about that. But he craves power, and he loves himself, and he will not do anything to quicken his own self-destruction. And any action against the United States, especially with Donald Trump in charge, will end badly for Kim Jong-un. We will know if things are really in the works, by the way. So it's not going to be a big surprise when it happens, if it happens, which I doubt. You'll hear about troops and assets moving into the region. That has not happened. Diplomats and their families will move out of the region. That has not happened. Given the current state of affairs, there will be intelligence leaks. That has not happened. And even in Guam, they're on heightened alert, but no assets have been moved in or out. We have the capability right now to take any missile fire by North Korea, even if they launch several, out of the sky before they ever get close to Guam. We may have the capability to use cyber technology to negate a launch before it even gets off the ground. North Korea has nothing close to our defense technology. And to test that technology would be suicidal. And deep down somewhere under that dopey haircut, Kim Jong-un knows that. Now let's talk about the part of the story that's not being covered. It seems Democrats and their minions in the media are quick to criticize Donald Trump for his tough rhetoric against North Korea. a moronic and ironic accusation, given that we are at this moment close to war with North Korea. We are at this moment close to war, if you believe the media, because of Barack Obama, and because he was so pitifully weak on North Korea and allowed them to accelerate their nuclear program. More on that in a minute. But the real story is how all this developed. It was Tuesday morning, and this has been so underreported. It was Tuesday morning that the Washington Post headlined a story citing unnamed intelligence sources who divulged top secret classified information that North Korea had reached the capability to miniaturize a nuclear warhead. That's the last step in making the intercontinental ballistic missiles that they have been testing nuclear weapons. So if they have a miniaturized nuclear warhead, they can put it on an intercontinental ballistic missile. It's big news. I understand it's big news. It's also something you don't want out for national security reasons right now. There were clear national security reasons not to leak that material and clear national security reasons not to print that story. It would accelerate a nuclear showdown, and that's exactly what happened. Whoever leaked the story should be weeded out, dismissed, and prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But more importantly, anyone from the Washington Post who was involved in receiving national security information and then disseminating it should also be charged. And I do not say that lightly. There was a time in this country when such information would be withheld, at least temporarily, upon request by the White House, if they could prove to the media outlet that there were legitimate national security concerns. This is clearly one of those cases. But the Washington Post and its owner, Jeff Bezos, are sworn anti-Trumpers, and to threaten the lives of Americans for political reasons is not responsible journalism. It is, in fact, a crime. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Donald Trump was responding to a question about the Washington Post report when he said this.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before.
Good. It's about time. That comment has been attacked over and over again, but I'm glad he said it. I'm glad he has doubled down on it. He didn't create this tension with North Korea. He didn't allow them to build a nuclear weapons arsenal. He is just warning North Korea in terms that Kim Jong-un will understand, that if you fire off a nuclear weapon, it'll be the last thing you do. I love the people who say he should have tried more diplomacy. Yeah, that's worked. More sanctions? Yeah, that he's got sanctions. That hasn't helped either. Every single time the U.S. has threatened a worldwide bully, the bully has backed off. Reagan did it all the time. The world feared Ronald Reagan. They thought he was crazy. Good. They learned not to mess with us. You seem to have two choices here. Allow North Korea to continue to build a nuclear program, continue to threaten us, continue to say they're going to launch a missile at our country, and do nothing until they actually do it. Or to say, if you do that, we're going to unleash hell's fury on you. And with Donald Trump, much like Ronald Reagan, the world believes he will do it. That works in our favor, not against us. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. I see Stan's back. Or is this Stan from Virginia? That's what it says up here, Virginia.
No. You sent the call back, so
I know. I'm glad you did. I saw Stan, and then it said, yeah, and Mike's apologizing now. Mike wrote up Virginia, and I thought, whoa, must be a different Stan.
Forest Hills, dummy, Forest Hills. Anyway, this is a serious moment, I must tell you. It's extremely serious. The comments made by the Koreans, then this is even more scary to me, that they would launch four missiles short of the American territory of Guam as a response to Trump's response. That is provocative. If they do that and deliberately not take Guam, it's war, because they are sending missiles into the U.S. province and territory of the United States. Trump would have to react, and I'm sorry to say he's put himself in a corner. He's not a negotiator. In this situation, you have to be a swift and intelligent and smart negotiator. I believe General Mattis has his ear and is telling him what to say on this matter. I don't think he's saying it on his own, but I think, you know, he has the ear of Mattis. But this is extremely dangerous. I think what he said was inappropriate at the time. He could have said something more. Keep, you know, watch yourselves. But now that North Koreans will respond accordingly, if they launch those missiles.
You know, Bill Clinton said almost the same thing. Do you know that? Bill Clinton said that it would be mass destruction. There'd be no more North Korea if they ever fired a missile.
I must be honest. I agree. I think it's because it's an American territory. And even if they do it deliberately short of Guam, which they say they would do, it's war. There's no other way to handle it. Trump would have to respond. And as you know, there are submarines in the Pacific Fleet near North Korea that could take them out in 5 seconds.
But you do know that North Korea has been threatening us forever. They have on their TV, they have pictures of the White House in flames.
Of course. And you remember, I think, I don't know if you remember, about 30 years ago when they took that American ship, the Pueblo. Remember that? Way back when they seized the Pueblo, they took it. That was a disgrace to the United States at the time. The captain surrendered to the North Korea. I don't know if you remember it.
Right, but since this guy's been in all, but since this guy's been in power, he's been threatening the United States constantly.
Oh, absolutely. No, I agree.
But he never does anything.
There comes a point where you turn mother's picture to the wall and say, enough is enough.
And that's what Trump did, right?
On this point, I agree, but he could have said it in a different way. You know, he's saying, you stand on one side, I stand on the other, let's draw. See who draws first. He can't do that. You know, you got to do it. You got to get to this guy's brain.
No, but you're saying we've tried everything else.
I know.
Nothing has worked with this guy.
Larry, are we going to go to war, Larry?
We're not going to go to war. But do you realize how we could take North Korea off the map if we wanted
Absolutely.
To?
Absolutely. I agree with you. I agree with you. But they may get one off on it. They may get one missile off. Or the Chinese may react. Remember, they're their ally. I don't trust the Chinese in this situation at all. Korea, they were with them 100%. And if they see a position where they can take advantage of this, they will. I'm worried more about China backing North Korea.
China is freaked out completely by what's going on right now.
They are, Larry.
And maybe we can push them into action to actually do something.
Moved. Larry, they haven't moved at all, the Chinese. They got 300,000 men sitting on the border between North Korea and the South. I don't know. They haven't moved at all. They're not doing anything. The best thing that could happen is if China invaded North Korea and took them over. There might be stability then, but who knows? I don't know.
But, Stan, you've just gone through all the reasons why threatening them is the right thing to do.
All right, threaten them, but when does it stop? Who makes the first punch? Who throws the first punch?
Nobody's going to, because when you have... Stan, we're running out of time, so I'm going to let you go. But nobody's going to throw the first punch, because there's not going to be any punches thrown. Because the way you deal with the bully is to show him you're not afraid of him and you can stand up to him. In this case, we've got force on our side. We have power on our side. He knows that firing off a missile would cause the demise of him and many other North Koreans. He doesn't want to lose power, let alone his own life. I doubt anything is going to happen. I pray that nothing happens. But I think threatening him was the right thing to do, because all a bully responds to is power. And we'll talk much more about this right after the break. I talked to people today that were certain we were going into war with North Korea. Certain of it. They were worried about this weekend. Because remember, the deadline was August 15th. He was going to create this ring of fire around Guam by August 15th. It's not going to happen. He's going to have so much pressure on him to stand down, including internal pressure, because he'll be taken out. His regime will go away. Mad Dog Mattis was right. You'll have the demise of your regime and your own people. But what gets me is that people go, oh, Donald Trump was so reckless. No, we were reckless for the 30 years where we ignored this threat. We have been reckless since he took over. In the last 10 years, we have been reckless in watching them time and time again flaunt a ballistic missile program and accelerate a nuclear program, as we said, little. We enact sanctions. We try to negotiate. None of that worked. None of it worked. So Donald Trump started a new tact. Donald Trump tried something new and said, we're going to unleash hell's fury on you. We're going to respond in a way that this world has never seen before. He was threatening Kim Jong-un, who's been threatening us for years. Finally, somebody stood up to that little punk and said, you better watch yourself. Because, yes, we hear what you're saying. We've taken notice. We're the most powerful country in the history of the world, with a nuclear arsenal 1,000 times greater than yours. And you better watch what you're doing. Now, in the past, we've had a president, Ronald Reagan, that the entire world feared. They used to put him in a cowboy outfit, if you remember, and would mock him, but nobody messed with him, because they knew what he would do, or at least they thought they knew. And they were afraid of him. They thought he was a little crazy. That's a good thing. To have people think that you're going to respond, and that you're going to respond with fire and fury. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Steve from Manhattan, you're on 77 WABC.
All right, Larry. First of all, the North Korean leaders, the leader of North Korea, his wife is having an affair with Dennis Rodman. This is why this is all going on. But truthfully, before I get to this...
Wow, that's his wife's having an affair with Dennis Rodman? Where are you getting this?
Dennis Rodman flies to North Korea like 4 or 5 times a year. What is he doing over there? Come on, he flies there. He gets all kinds of security clearances. He flies right in there. The B-52 bombers flew over there. They'd have they would be complaining more, but he gets in there with no problem. That's what I'm thinking about. Before I get to this, can I really say something important that's important to New York City? Then I will address this North Korea thing.
Okay, go ahead.
People. This is really important because I live in New York City my whole life, and I've seen this happen. I've seen the infrastructure of this city be destroyed. They have, on the MTA system, express tracks that are not used. The full use of the express tracks of our subway and L system should be used, and these people who stop throwing garbage. I've been on train stations where there's garbage all over the place, resulting in track fires that causes train delays. And all they have to do for the infrastructure is to unleash the greatest tradesmen and craftsmen on the planet, the New York City Union Building Trades, Craftsmen, and Construction Workers, and they'll put us in the 21st century. That's more important. And what's going to follow up after North Korea? Hillary running for mayor? Listen, this is the truth, folks. North Korea is a puppet state of communist China. China feeds North Korea. China props up North Korea with food, trade, and everything else. And where does China get all this money from? I wonder where. They get it from American companies that have set up shop in communist China. I'm not going to rattle off all the names. I'm not going to give you the reason why the American businessmen love going to China, because everything they love is given to them at their hotel rooms. They're given women, gambling, everything they love, they get when they go to China, the businessmen. That's why they leave their wives home. And let's remember, too, in the Korean War, which is now over 60 years ago, it was the Chinese army that came in, over a million of them, that went in after our Marines, and even our great Marines blasted them right back to the Chinese border.
You know, it's interesting.
Bottom line.
Yeah, Steve, you brought up, and thanks for that phone call, you brought up a few things that are all intertwined. You're right. There was a time during the Korean War that the Chinese got involved. They're not going to get involved this time. They don't want this war. And the reason is because the other point you brought up, they are so economically dependent on the United States as we are with them, and they have so much of our debt, they don't want a war with North Korea. I hope that North Korea is a puppet state, but so far it seems like China has not been able to control this guy. I hope you're right. I hope they can go in for their own good, their own economic good, and get Kim Jong-un to stand down. They don't want us there, and they don't want to ruin this relationship between us and them. We are interdependent. And our companies, the big companies in this country that seem to run the government, don't want this to be fooled with either. Believe me, there's a lot of pressure going on. There's a lot of back channels going on right now to make sure that everybody stands down. But the threat itself was a good thing. It got everybody's attention. And for the first time, maybe, we can settle this thing. And I don't think it's going to come to blows. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Frank from Jefferson, you're on 77 WABC.
Good morning, Larry. Always listen to you on the way home from work. It's always a pleasure, and you keep me up and my mind going. So thank you very much for that.
Sure. Thank you, Frank.
Regarding North Korea, I know nothing really major big is going to happen. I know China doesn't want to lose us as a trade partner. And I've been doing some research, you know, online, looking at the past history between our two countries, and I saw that, and I want your honest opinion on this, bringing in other countries onto the table. I know Japan, North Korea, and China don't get along too well. What is your opinion about us strengthening our ties with Vietnam as a major trade partner and kind of stepping China aside as a little threat, saying, listen, you know, we're here, you know, North Korea is not, you know, helping us out too well, we're not doing, you know, too good with them. We might just go with Vietnam because, you know what, we're strengthening ties with them.
Yeah, no, Frank, that's an interesting idea. Here's the problem with that is that Vietnam isn't strong enough to replace China. And it's not just China that needs us. We need China. We want access to that market. Our companies, big companies here, Coca-Cola, Walmart, Apple, we want access to the Chinese market. We want access to a billion of anything. But we certainly want to get in there. And there, because of that, China has power. It is the fact that they have such a big, growing, vibrant, untapped marketplace for us to sell our goods. So Vietnam can't match that. And I'm not sure that China would be threatened by that either. Now, Vietnam, we're already doing trade with. We're already trading with Vietnam. So I'm not sure that China would even care because we need them as much as they need us. China, by the way, they have so much of our debt right now. There's an old saying that when you owe the bank $1 million, the bank owns you. When you owe the bank $10 million, you own the bank. And so they have a vested interest because they own so much of our debt in us succeeding. So there's so much economically tied to this that if China really does have influence over North Korea, and I don't think they have as much influence as we think they do because this guy is so crazy, but if it really is a puppet state, and I'm hoping that's true, then certainly nothing's going to happen because there's too much money involved. Welcome back. We were just talking about China. The president of China called for restraint during a phone call today, or yesterday, I should say, with President Donald Trump. It happened on Saturday because of the dramatic exchange of threats between the United States and North Korea. At present, relevant parties should exercise restraint and avoid words and actions that would escalate tensions of the Korean Peninsula. He called Donald Trump and said that, according to the Chinese. Trump told the president of China, apparently nobody loves a peaceful solution more than President Trump, that I can tell you. But he also warned that we could also have a bad solution. I think that what he was telling the Chinese president, that you should just try to keep your dog on a leash for right now. Mark from Flushing, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. And I want to make a comment about North Korea. And if I could just really briefly preface that.
Sure.
Just by saying the quote, the great C.S. Lewis, who predicted, well, basically said, I believe in the 50s, that error exists in the world through pairs of opposites. That's why we're seeing so much incredibly radical behavior, extreme left, extreme right, and the only thing to remedy that is the resurgence of a middle brow culture. Second, we've had near perfect oratory from a very intellectual administration previous to Trump, and now we're seeing an individual who basically doesn't possess that type of oratory, and that's why we're seeing everyone go nuts, because we've been programmed to accept nothing less than perfect oratory, which is driving the media nuts, and that's why we're seeing so much rebellion basically against Trump. Finally, my opinion about North Korea is this, that I hope this is not the scenario we're facing. I hope you're right that they're not going to do anything, basically, but the thing is, I don't think we could wait till they get basically any type of nuclear device, and then that'll be the end of that. I think the only option at this point is a preemptive strike, basically. Why? Because they have thousands of howitzer cannons pointed at South Korea.
Yeah, Mark, that's not a good idea. A preemptive strike's not a good idea. And a preemptive strike's not a good idea, and thanks for the phone call, but a preemptive strike's not a good idea because that would accelerate things, and we'd be seen as the bad guys, and that would harm the relationship with China that we need so much right now. I understand why you're saying that, and I can see how that might seem like a good thing to do, and I'm sure it's even been discussed. But there's so everything you do risk reward with, and the reward would be great, but the risk would be that much greater. And the world community would denounce us as well. So I'm not only would it hurt our relationship with China, but it would hurt our relationship with other allies around the world, with the exception of Japan and South Korea. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Will from Farmingdale, you're on 77 WABC.
Wow, Larry, preemptive strike. I mean, wow. You know, that's just completely crazy. You're talking about a man whose defensive manifesto for his nation is to nuke anyone near him if he's attacked in any meaningful way. I'm glad that guy doesn't have the ear of the president.
Yeah, Will, the only way, the scary thing about that comment is the only way a preemptive strike would work is if we wipe them out. Because if we don't wipe them out, we're in trouble.
Yeah, and let me tell you, because the casualties that would be sustained in this war would pretty much be an entire annihilation of North Korea. Because we cannot risk the millions of people that would die in America or our allies. Here's what happens when you neglect people like this for 20 years. All the administration, the presidents that have to act presidential and they're not, they should have practiced restraint and diplomacy. This should be an eye opener for America. That this may be saber rattling and this may be, you know, a man that doesn't want to die and doesn't want to kill all those people, you know, making a big show. But there are people, especially in the Middle East, that won't even tell us. They'll just nuclear strike. Okay, the United States spends $764 billion a year plus on the military. Why we are not rolling in 100% into anti-ballistic missile defense systems when we already have two. One's a rocket, which we successfully tested maybe a month ago. Through the several tests that we've done, we're about 50% on that. And we also have the anti-ballistic missile laser system, which we know they tested a few times over the years. A great test would be if he does have one of his other practice launches, actually take out one of his practice launches.
We don't know that that hasn't happened already. And you left out one thing, and that is our cyber capabilities. I don't know if you remember, but one of the rockets that he tried to launch blew up right after takeoff.
Yep.
And if you remember, Donald Trump was asked, it was Mattis that was asked, did we take that out? And he said, I'm not going to answer that question. And that doesn't mean we did, but it certainly was interesting that he wouldn't answer.
You know what's going to happen here? Cooler heads are going to prevail. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised. Somebody brought up Rodman before. I wouldn't be surprised if Rodman got these two.
Oh, man, that's even worse than a preemptive strike. We can't send Dennis Rodman. All right, thanks a lot, Will. I appreciate it. Michael from Cliffside Park, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, I can't believe you. You're saying that our big companies want to keep doing business with China? Of course they do. They love the idea of having cheap slave labor. Now, let me ask you something, because I don't think you think clearly.
Okay.
What in the heck do we make that China buys? We manufacture nothing. Everything in this country today says made in China. Let me just give you a few quotes.
Well, stop for a second, Michael, because I've seen pictures of Chinese walking around. You know what they're doing? They're drinking Coca-Cola. They're also wearing jeans from this country. They're wearing clothes from this country. They're using Apple iPhones. They're using Microsoft. You're crazy, Michael. You really are. You're just crazy. There's so many people in this country that crack me up that are so down on the United States, so down on the United States, they can't perceive the notion that other countries want our goods, and yet our goods dominate the world. You think it's a big deal that our stuff is manufactured over there? It is for manufacturing jobs. Those manufacturing jobs, we've been outpriced. And until we can bring manufacturing costs down in this country, it's very difficult to compete. But we make up with it in the Silicon Valley, in technology, in our satellite technology, in our service industries, in our food manufacturing, which dominates the world that nobody seems to talk about, in our pharmaceutical industries. Are you crazy that China doesn't buy our goods? It is amazing to me. One time, somebody was doing a report in India, and they were talking about the fact that India is now doing all of our phone calls. There was all these, every time you call to have your Apple phone fixed or something, it goes to India. And that they're taking over the world, and they're taking because they can do it cheaper, and because they have a well-educated workforce, they're stealing all this from America. And yet, everywhere you looked, it was American goods. It was American movies. It was American TV shows. It was American sports equipment. It was American computers. Everything was American. And so even though they're taking some of our money away, a small amount, they're spending their money on American products. But of course, we have to believe that American power is diminishing. We have to believe a narrative that somehow we're failing. We're the big bad guys in the world, and they're taking our money, they're taking our jobs. The reason a global economy, the dirty little secret is, the reason a global economy works for America is because we profit greatly from it. And nobody wants to talk about that because it's better to say that corporate America is destroying this country. It just doesn't happen to be true. We'll talk more about North Korea in a second, but Michael got me going for a second. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Back with more North Korea right after the break.
With fire and fury, like the world has never seen. He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before.
Oh, and the media went crazy. Democrats went crazy. How irresponsible that was. Diplomacy is the way to go. Diplomacy is the way to go. We have been trying diplomacy for decades. North Korea always pretends they're going to do better to try to get more money and more concessions from us. And then they continue with a nuclear program and an anti-ballistic program. And now they've got it. So we kept looking the other way. Donald Trump has now told the bully that if you make a move, we're going to punch you in the face. And everybody said, oh, no, that's not the way to go. We have to keep doing exactly the same thing we've been doing and failing with. Don't you know? And so how did Donald Trump respond to that? He came back and doubled down.
The people that were questioning that statement, was it too tough? Maybe it wasn't tough enough. They've been doing this to our country for a long time, for many years. And it's about time that somebody stuck up for the people of this country and for the people of other countries. So if anything, maybe that statement wasn't tough enough. And we're backed by 100% by our military. We're backed by everybody. And we're backed by many other leaders. And I noticed that many senators and others today came out very much in favor of what I said. But if anything, that statement may not be tough enough.
What would be tougher than fire and fury?
Well, you'll see. You'll see.
You'll see. You'll see. And then he tripled down and he all week long. He never backed off at all. And that wasn't a message to the reporter or to the media. That was a message to Kim Jong-un that I am serious. Michael from Manhattan, you're on 77 WABC.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing well, Michael.
You remember the snake poem that Trump would use on the stump when whoever, you know, the snake will invite or the woman will invite the snake to her house and then complains when the snake bites her.
Yeah, that's an old joke.
Yeah. But that it's very apropos right now because that's what Kim Jong has been doing. He'll lay and say, oh, yeah, give me some money, like you said. But you see, the problem is this. you know, you can, a criminal, whether you're trying to reform him or not, if he's criminally minded, we'll look at your, you know, as your generosity and charity as weakness. Okay, like, you know, oh, we want to appease these people. We want to give them more money and everything like this. But he doesn't care. He's going to do what he's going to do regardless if we were to give him stuff or not. So that's his mindset. So Trump is right on. Okay. Secondly, here's what I wish, though. I wish every president would have served in the military. Okay, because they will get some perspective on what awesome power they're sitting on. Now, I know Trump was in the military school, but that's not the same as military.
No, and he took deferments to get out of the military. Yes, that's not a good topic for him.
No, it's not. But what I'm saying is that, you know, presidents should just know what it's like because, you know, if they've got to really push it, they know what the damage is going to be. But I think Trump is doing the right thing. You're right, because we're going to call their bluff.
Yeah, no, I, and that's a great point, Michael. Thanks for the phone call. That he has not responded to gifts from us. because he sees it as weakness. So why not try being talking tough? It's going to work. We can already see if there was going to be an attack, we'd know. We would know because diplomats would be moving, families would be moving, troops would be moving, assets would be moving, things would be leaked out. You'd see a whole lot of movement in the world right now if there was going to be an attack. There's no signs of that. And this is supposed to happen in a couple of days before, what, Tuesday or Thursday? It was a bluff. It's not going to happen. It would be self-destruction on Korea's part. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. David from New York, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi. Yeah, this is David. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead, and you're on the air.
Yeah, real quick thing, what you guys were talking about earlier, someone was calling, about the cheap goods coming from China. Yeah, there's one thing that everybody has to understand, that the reason why they're cheap and they don't abide by the manufacturers over in China, by the Associated or American Standard for Test Material. None of those meet the codes, and that's why they're so cheap. Now, moving on to North Korea again, I wish this, that our president would turn around and do one of these. I always remember, I'm older, I'm in my 60s. You know, one of these, my fellow Americans coming from the Oval Office saying, here's the history of why we're involved in North Korea and why there is a North Korea. And give us a real quick synopsis. Give everybody in this country, reteach them why we're there and how it happened after World War II and why it happened. And then from that point on, tell the people that don't know, that have no clue, that this is why we have to defend this area because of our treaty organizations, SATO back in from 54 to 77, and NATO, of course, and that it is our obligation to defend this area with whatever force it takes to defend, whether it's Japan or any island that we happen to be looking after since the treaties after World War II. He has every right, as a president, he has every right to say whatever he wants. But I would love to see our president turn around and just address the nation just like LBJ did, just like JFK did, just like Nixon, all of our presidents that are our presidents. And I wish he would get down and just get into a serious one-on-one right in front of the television screen and explain the history of why we're there and what we're doing. This is no joke.
No,
and
I think
obviously this kid.
Yeah,
this
I agree with you, David. I think that would be great. I think that would be wonderful if President Trump would do an explanatory speech to the nation from the Oval Office, and everybody would carry it because they don't know what he's going to say. So there's some power in the fact that he has been so incendiary because every time he goes to speak, people cover it. So he could give a speech to the nation and then surprise everybody by turning around and doing exactly what you just said. Explain how we got to this moment with North Korea and why he's acting the way he is toward North Korea. It would be brilliant. I don't think it's going to happen. It's just not him. But I would love to see it. I think most people that want to support the president would love to see that moment from him. John from Elizabeth, New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, hi, Larry.
Hey, John.
To start with, I'm an 80% disabled Marine veteran of the Vietnam War, so I know a little bit about war.
Well, thank you, sir.
Now, well, I was just guarding rusty typewriters with my rusty M14, so I don't want a bunch of credit.
No, but you still served, and others didn't, so.
Anyway, Harry Truman, after Hiroshima, he threatened with the very same words. It's almost like Donald Trump plagiarized him. What would happen if the Japanese didn't surrender? They didn't surrender. They got the bomb in Nagasaki, and that ended the whole thing. And also, toward the end of the Korean War, my understanding is that President Eisenhower told China if they didn't knock it off, he'd go ahead and start dropping some nukes. And I understand that's what led him to the conference table.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm going to look that up. But you just gave
me. You can look it up. I'm a student of history. It's come over the air a few times, but not enough. But Harry Truman's threat was very similar to Donald Trump's. And as far as Eisenhower doing that, there's pros and cons, but that's kind of the word.
Yeah, I want to look up the Eisenhower one, the Truman one, John. And again, thank you so much for your service. It doesn't matter where you served or how you served. It's the fact that you served is why you deserve a thank you, because so many others did not serve. But a couple of things about what you said. Yeah, the Eisenhower thing I hadn't heard before, and I want to look that up. But comparing what's going on right now to Truman's threat to the Japanese that he followed through with, it's frightening for that very reason. I'm hoping nothing happens. I'm hoping that Donald Trump called Kim Jong-un's bluff. I don't think he said that haphazardly like has been reported. He just didn't come out and say that. I think this is a strategy. And I believe his generals are behind this, including Mad Dog Mattis, that they've told him, look, this guy's full of it. He's a coward. He's not going to use this capability. If you threaten him, he's going to shrink. And we'll see if that's the case. Right now, we've had no sign, no signal whatsoever that he's going to follow through on his threat. And if he doesn't follow through on his threat and he does back down, that'll be a win for Donald Trump. Of course, they'll give him as much credit as he got when he came up with the sanctions against North Korea and got the entire UN to support him, including Russia and China. For some reason, he didn't get any support with that. He'll get as much support as he does for the jobs numbers and creating over 1 million jobs since January, which is none. But he deserves credit. If North Korea backs down. If they don't, well, then God help us. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We're coming right back after this.
Well, I really don't mind the rain, and a smile can hide all the pain.
When I was a kid, I was a huge Glenn Campbell fan. Glenn Campbell, of course, passed away this week after an awful battle with Alzheimer's. My mom had Alzheimer's, and so I... especially upset at the passing and... And I'm active with... the Alzheimer's Association because of this. And so, and Glenn Campbell was very brave to come out and speak out about Alzheimer's and allowed his story to be told. Gonna miss him. Charles from Woodbridge, you are a big Glenn Campbell fan?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you for playing that, because that is my favorite song. Thank you for taking my call, and good morning, buddy.
Yeah, good morning, Charles. I'm glad you called, because
I
didn't want to go the entire show without talking about Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, because you know I'm a singer, right?
Yeah, no, you've sang before for us on the air.
Yeah, yeah. And how did I do?
I think you did really well.
Thank you, Larry. 81 all-timers, yep. And guess who else died around 5 weeks ago?
5 weeks ago?
Yeah.
You're late with this news. Who's that?
Well, I wanted to tell you about it, but, you know, it's always talking about politics all the time.
Right, I know. It's sorry, that's just the show.
I know, Larry. I'm just saying, I'm not one of those types, you know. I'm more like a laid-back.
Well, you get to the point. Who died 5 weeks ago that you wanted to tell me about?
Well, that's that Home Alone guy.
The Home Alone guy. Which one?
Yeah, 72 years old with cancer.
Who was... Oh, I know who you're talking about. It was the character actor.
Correct.
Who was the dad. He was the dad
on
Home Alone.
On the show. Yeah, Home Alone.
All right, Charles.
Yeah. Thanks
again for the phone call. Thanks a lot for bringing up Glenn Campbell to make sure that I played his song. By the way, has anybody been watching the meteor shower tonight? Into this morning? Apparently it's real good right now. They're raving about it. The Perseid meteor shower is happening right now. It's been happening since it got dark Saturday night into Sunday morning. I will tell you that this comes around every couple of years. And this, right now, it's supposed to be spectacular. There's like 40 to 50 meteors per hour. And if the moon is in its darker phase, which I'm not sure it is right now, but I guess it is because everybody's raving about it, you might be able to see 80 to 100 meteors per hour. I've gotten up in the middle of the night to see this Perseid meteor shower, and I never see anything, ever. And then everybody raves about it the next day. Oh, did you see it? Yes, I was up. I didn't see a thing. I stared into the sky like an idiot and got up at 3 in the morning and didn't see one darn meteor, not one falling star. I swear this whole thing's a practical joke. Just to fool me, just to get me out in the middle of the night. Now I'm going to be driving home with a dark sky, and of course I'll look up in the sky, and I guarantee you I won't see a thing. Pete from Connecticut, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry, there's a lot of people out there asking me questions about how do I get our economy rolling again, because I'm in Connecticut, and this whole state is gone. We got foreclosures here. We got abandoned factories all over the place.
Well, the foreclosure. Who are the foreclosures?
We got houses, we got homes.
Oh, homes foreclosing.
Everybody's leaving here.
So you're saying that this economic upturn we're supposed to be experiencing, where the GDP has gone up and the unemployment rate's gone down and jobs have been created, you're not feeling it in Connecticut?
No way. It's not enough. You got 100 million Americans can't even get a job. Over 200 years ago,
Thomas, you got 100 million. Wait a second.
We got Thomas Jefferson, and we had they said that they would never buy foreign goods. That was 200 years ago.
Yeah.
Buying Chinese goods is a cancer in our country. It's destroying the young people. It's destroying the middle class.
And that's why we have 100 million out of work. Pete. We only have 300 million people in the country. We have 100 million out of work? Really? That would be an unemployment rate, considering the fact that there's a lot of people that don't work, and you have, you know, a lot of people retired, and a lot of kids, people under 18 that aren't counted, and people that stop looking work. That would be an unemployment rate of about 65%, maybe 70%, maybe even greater than that. I have to look up what the workforce is exactly. That might be a 75% unemployment rate. See, you can't. Look, just because you have this empirical evidence that you're driving down the street and you see some friends of yours have foreclosures, which, by the way, I don't see a lot. I don't see a lot of foreclosures right now. There were foreclosures a little while ago, and I don't see, I know there was factories closing left and right, but I haven't seen factories closing as much recently. I know they're never coming back. There's a couple, and Donald Trump talks about it all the time, but manufacturing is not our future. But the economy seems to be doing pretty well right now. If it's not in Connecticut, maybe because it's a Democratic state, I don't know. But I have a hard time taking a call seriously when they start off with 100 million people are out of work. Going to try to squeeze in a couple of stories that I wanted to get to that I didn't have time to just because of the events of the day and because of North Korea. But there's a study out that shows the Earth is cooler now than when Al Gore won his Nobel Peace Prize for global warming. As a matter of fact, since the Inconvenient Truth came out, the temperature dipped a lot. Now it's lower, but it was that when he released it, it was the high. That was 2007 he released it. And it dipped almost immediately by 0.2 degrees. It dipped all the way down to 0.4 degrees less. And now it's still underneath that 10 years later. And all of the things that we were told were going to happen at this point. Remember, Florida was going to be underwater at this point. Never happened. We were going to have tides rising. The polar bears were going to be extinct at this point. Never happened. The fear tactics of global warming, or now climate change, since they had to change it because the world stopped warming, we should hold them in contempt, or at least hold their feet to the fire for misleading us and using scare tactics that never, ever came true. I remember 2020 did a whole thing on what was going to happen. Crops were going to die. Bugs were going to infest us. This was by 2010. None of that has happened. So how can we take a movement seriously that lied so much to us? Do I want clean air? Yes. Do I want clean water? Yes. Why do I have to believe in a religion if I already believe in the remedy? Because there's money behind the religion. Hey, thanks for listening. We'll talk again next week.